Unlisted, where Brad gets the scoop from the people defining the future of real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Brad Inman.
Welcome, Inman News readers, to the Unlisted podcast. I'm Brad Inman. Today, I've got with me the new CEO of ERA Real Estate, Sue Yannacone. Welcome, Sue.
Thanks, Brad. Happy to be here.
Now, that name, did I pronounce it right? Are you Italian? What is that background there?
You did. I am Italian by marriage, I guess. I don't know. My prior name was Daniel. I guess I really love my husband, huh?
Oh, that's great. That's cool. Hey, listen, let's talk about this appointment by Realogy to put you in the CEO seat. This doubled the number of women, I think, in senior most executive positions at Realogy Franchise Services. So do you feel like you're I think with Sherry Chris, who's CEO of B&G, have you shattered the glass ceiling over there? What's going on? It sounds like good news for Realogy. And good news for women.
You know, Brad, I think it is. It's great news for Realogy. It's great news for women. You mentioned Sherry, and I would say, you know, that Sherry and others who came before me did a great job of paving the path for women. You know, I'm actually the second CEO of ERA that's a woman. Prior to Charlie Young, Brenda Casterly led ERA for a number of years. So Realogy is extremely supportive of women leaders in our industry, and I think it's very important.
Hey, give us some advice. Two things. Give us some CEO advice. Like, you know, what does it take to become a CEO? And then what advice might you give anybody, but also young women? You know, we have a lot of young Inman readers, young women who are aspiring, you know, to be really successful agents and brokers and some, you know, someday be CEOs. What's some advice about what's the path to becoming a CEO and how do you get there and how do you be successful at it?
You know, I think it's very important for women and all individuals to be very authentic, to be true to who you are and to lead from that place. One of the things I've always tried to be is who I am in any leadership role or any position I've had. And I've also never been afraid. I've been described as somewhat fearless, and I've had the opportunity to take a lot of risks. And I've had that seat at the table, so to speak, and I've never been afraid to ask for it. And I think as women and really anybody that's looking to further their career, it's important to have your voice, understand who you are, understand what you want to accomplish, and don't be afraid to go after it. A lot of women will sit back and wait to be asked to come to the table or wait, you know, to sort of raise their hand with an idea. And I don't know where that comes from, be it our upbringing or whatnot, but you just need to find your voice and go for it. Don't be afraid of failure. Be afraid of not trying.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Leslie Ebersole was at Connect and did an interview with Joe Rand about this very issue. And she commented how, wow, we've got 60% of the agent population are women, but they're not at the table. And she said it went both ways. She said, certainly women are being blocked out by the, you know, the old white guy establishment, but they're also, you know, not stepping up to the table. So I think you make a really, really good point. Let's move now to the industry. You're in a franchise seat, and franchises, like I think every part of the industry, are feeling, you know, not only market pressures, but also, you know, just changes in the industry. What are some of the challenges that running a real estate franchise that you're seeing out there, you know, that the franchises face?
I think one of the things you mentioned is exactly the biggest challenge, right? Which is the pace of change in our industry and the ever-changing dynamics. I find our biggest challenge is ensuring that we're staying relevant in a way that provides true value to our customer. That need and that challenge is driven by that pace of innovation, fueled by that continuous and rapid shift in our consumer behavior. It's a generational shift, right? It's not slowing down. It's not going away. And it's imperative that we continue to evolve, not only to address the needs today, but to be ahead of what's coming next, you know, our future customers. And there was a lot of talk about that at Connect in San Francisco, right? The need to understand what's going on today, not necessarily because that's what's going to be here in 5 years, but it's that next thing that's coming. And when you look at our consumers of today, and when you look at the agents of tomorrow, they're, you know, the digitally native generations that are coming. They don't watch TV and watch the commercials, right? They don't connect via long phone calls. It's a whole shift that is not stopping. It's that train has left the station. And so I find as a franchise, or, you know, our job is to help bring our brokers and our agents forward with all of that. And that's, in our industry, it's challenging. It's very fragmented and people do things very different ways. And so being able to harness that and provide solutions can be challenging, but it's the only way we keep moving forward and stay relevant.
Yeah, it seems to me, it's just what you said, you know, young agents today isn't watching the nightly news with whoever does the nightly news these days on NBC. They're using Snapchat to communicate with their friends. And it, you know, some of the old franchise kind of approaches to this, you know, use the old school, you know, branding on television. And, you know, it just seems so irrelevant in so many ways to what's going on today. You know, I just did a road show. I was at KW at the Mega Camp, which, you know, woo, unbelievable, you know, enthusiasm. Then I went to Remax and met with Dave Liniger and was on the stage with him and a few other media people. And he's back, you know, his health is back and he's trying to invigorate that brand. Then I was at BH&G, which, you know, Sherry's done a great job of bringing that brand to the table and being, you know, a meaningful competitor. And, you know, you're new in this position. It seems to me more than ever, the franchises are having to duel it out. I guess they always have, but it seems like there's a new breed of competition going on. It's got to be healthy for everybody. That means brokers are, you know, they have better choices and agents as well. Do you see that, or has it always been this competitive? Maybe it's just because I was on the road for 2 weeks.
You've been fully immersed in
it,
right?
Pretty much.
You know, I think it's always been competitive. I think the competition is in different areas, right? You know, perhaps today it's because we're not, you know, it's not so much about who has the, you know, longest running commercial on TV. I think our agents and our brokers are demanding more value from us, right? They're looking for more from us than just what yard sign is going in and going to save my world, because that's not today's business. And so the competition, in my mind, and at least the way we like to look at the business here, is on driving that true value, that true benefit to that agent, to that broker that helps their bottom line, right? Our margins in our brokers' businesses have shifted dramatically, and we need to prove that we can help them convert more leads. You know, it's going beyond just getting more leads. What do we do with them now, right? So it's really helping, and that is what I think people are looking for, right? When I'm talking to prospects, when I'm talking to our brokers, when I'm out in the industry, it's, you know, great, you know, you're this brand or there's that brand, but how are you going to help me take my business to the next level? And that's in products and tools and education and support more than it is what logo's on my yard sign.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. The rise of the indie broker is kind of interesting. You see these, you know, they kind of came out of the ashes of the 2008 recession. They tend to be younger. They take technology for granted. They're not wringing their hands blaming Zillow. They don't even think about it that way. They have created really vibrant cultures inside their company. They're very service driven. It feels like a blueprint for every broker. And I'm told that some of them, like At Properties in Chicago, allegedly has an incredible margin because they have about 10 to 20% of the real estate of an old fashioned broker, and real estate's expensive. I assume there's some lessons to be learned from these. And I know you have them inside ERA as well, but this next generation of brokers just seems to look at the world quite differently. And they don't seem to be the least bit confused about what their value proposition is, which is, you know, great agents and good customer service. It seems pretty simple. And that usually equates to making money. anything you're seeing out there, like the indies or anything else that, you know, are stars that, you know, you're following? Or, are there lessons in all this?
I think there's always lessons in it. And I think if we're, you know, we do a disservice, or anyone does a disservice to themselves, their business, and their customer, if they fail to look at what others are doing and being successful at, right? We learn from other successes, we learn from others' failures. And I think it's always critical to keep an eye on those. You know, I know At Properties, and they do a, you know, a great job in their market, right? I think what's crucial to take from that, and what we've always focused on and is very important, is that, you know, that stellar age, helping them produce more and keeping relevant, and you're going to have a good business. It's customer service, it's collaboration, and it's providing those systems that can help move people forward. I think one of the challenges that occurs for some of those independent and other companies is the scalability and the ability to continue to sustain in this dynamic, ever-changing industry, and what the long-term needs are as it relates to that. And that's something that, you know, is a value that, as a franchise like myself, we have greater access to. But, you know, I come from a very strong service, customer service background. And my belief is very customer service focused. And I believe our agents should be, and our tools and systems should do that to help them.
That's great. Let me ask you this. Let's move to the industry as a whole entity. What do you think the biggest threats are to the housing industry? And let me just go through a list. Is it economic uncertainty this year, setting ourselves up for a bad year next year? Is it the market? Would you say yes or no? Is that a threat?
I don't know that the market is a threat. I think we have those constant macroeconomic trends, like you talked about, that are going to impact the market. I think everybody's looking to see what happens in, the political arena. I think lack of inventory right now is, you know, if I talk to my brokers, that tends to be the biggest concern. For the most part, they're very optimistic as to where we are and where they're performing this year. Again, we're in a very broad sort of market. We're not really focused in one demographic, which I think really helps bolster for the long term. So, I think there's a couple things that are always at play, but you know, we're feeling pretty good about it and that's what I'm hearing from most everyone that I speak to. You know, if we could get a better pipeline of those kind of coming off the sidelines, interest rates will continue to impact that, lending opportunities for the first time in the millennials. But you know, for the most part, I think we're gonna continue to see a pretty stable, if not slightly strong, for our brokers. That's what we're hearing.
Let's talk a minute about I don't know if they're threats or opportunities, but the big portals, you know, kind of capturing the imaginations of the consumer. And you could arguably say back in the day, if you ask consumers, do they know the Century 21 brand or the ERA brand or the Coldwell Banker brand, it was top of mind for real estate. They may still know those brands, but these portals now really have captured the everyday habit of consumers, buyers and sellers and homeowners and renters and people applying for a mortgage. Is that an opportunity or a threat in your mind? And how do you tell your people to manage to it?
I think that it depends on what you're looking for from that online engagement. But, you know, I think that the portals are there and they've been there for a while. You know, we have launched a technology platform here across our network that is providing and sharing greater search capacity back to our brokers. I think that we have seen over the years a decrease, obviously, as you said, in the consumer going to broker or brand specific portals. But I feel that we're hearing and we're seeing a shift in some places back to that broker portal, that broker site. The brand really is to connect with the consumer and the agents and to really make it what I talk to the folks about, and what we really push is that hyper-local content from an agent and a broker perspective that the portals can't provide, right? So everybody goes online and they're going to start their search and they're going to look for their homes, whether it's a buyer or seller these days, right? Everybody starts online well before they're ready to transact. But that need for our agent and broker to remain relevant in their market is to retain and to provide that hyper-local content that they can't get anywhere else. And that increases the value of those agents' sites, of the broker and the agent and the local site. So whether a consumer start on Zillow, they need to end up on your local site for information that you are the expert and able to provide. So, you know, I think that they're both out there. You know, you can start searching in a very large environment on Zillow or Trulia, but your consumer is going to end up on your site because you're going to provide information, value, content, analysis, expertise that nobody else can, because you own your market.
Sue, let me ask you this to kind of wrap it up here. Give some advice to, as brokers are, you know, here in about 2 weeks, we'll be into September, and that's about the time we all start planning for the following year. So let's think ahead to 2017. Let's deal with brokers and agents. As you're beginning to make plans for 2017, what's one rock solid piece of advice you would give a broker? Let's start with the broker. And then secondly, what's a piece of advice you'd give to an agent in terms of planning for next year?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head, because for me, it's planning. I think it's understanding a plan. I think we find, so starting with the brokers, right? They need to understand what they want to achieve in the year. They need to narrow that down. They need to understand you can't be all things to all people. What is it you want to achieve, right? Are you going to focus on innovation? What are the one or two things you need to do to bring your company to the next level? You need to create that plan. You need to commit to that plan and accountability metrics for it, right? And I think for agents, it's similar. Focus on your business. Focus on who you are, what you're best at. Create that plan. You know, a lot of agents we find don't have business plans, right? So, you know, you are running a business, and focus on that, execute on it, and, you know, engage with the tools and systems that your broker's providing to drive that success for you. And again, on the brokers, focus on your agent engagement. What can you do to drive value to your agents, to retain those agents, help them perform better, help them, you know, be more successful in the industry?
That's great, Sue. Hey, listen, excuse me. Good luck in your new position. You're now part of an elite circle of real estate CEOs. You've definitely broken the glass ceiling here. I think that's good for everybody. It seems like you've got a plan. We wish you luck executing it, and we'll have you back soon. And hopefully we see you on the stage in New York City at Connect.
Sounds good, Brad. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.